Welcome, everyone. I'm here today with Benton McDonough, Nashville's new nightmare. Benton, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Davis. I really appreciate it.
Of course. So Benton, tell us what the role of the nightmare is for those that don't know. It's a new position. And so I don't think a lot of people are educated on what exactly your responsibilities or are. So if you could tell us that to start.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Like you said, it's new to Nashville, so it's unique for Nashville. But I like to tell people it's not unique to Nashville. There are other cities that that have created this type of position, and they've had a lot of success with it. But typically, I'll be acting as a liaison, basically as a liaison between the public and business owners and metro government. And so, we're going to be looking at issues dealing with public safety, cleanliness, traffic, special events, overcrowding, noise, overserving, consumer complaints, issues that come up with metro government departments, and any issues with licensing and permitting. That's kind of a broad range of issues. But basically, if you're having, an issue with, either with your neighbor's music being too loud, or, a party at a short-term rental, or basically getting through a process with permits, in various departments, then, I think that's really what we're here to help with.
So it's not confined to, let's say, the bars on Broadway. It's a broader, like, maybe things that happen after 10 p.m. and the issues that arise from those things.
Right. That's exactly it. This is really a countywide position. And, I think at the moment, we obviously are looking at a lot of issues that we see on Broadway, but big scale, we're talking about, this is a countywide position.
Right. Were there any particular incidents that made Metro aware that this position was necessary?
It's hard to point to, specific instances. Like, I think it's just a combination of several things. I mean, you look at our economy, it's growing. The hospitality industry is doing well, and it's been going through the roof over the last 10 or 15 years. And I know that Mayor Cooper is very pleased with that amount of success. But I think this position is supposed to bring back some balance between those individuals who live and work here, and those matters, dealing with the people who are here to visit as well. So just a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So it's clearly dealing with, like, the inability of Metro to deal more acutely with these issues. Because these issues started to multiply, obviously, as Nashville is like a tourist destination, and in many ways, kind of a nightlife. It's become a nightlife hotspot. Right. Just to put that in perspective for listeners, I mean, London, Berlin, and Amsterdam were the first, I believe, to elect nightmares, and New Orleans has recently elected one. I'm surprised that Las Vegas doesn't have one, but maybe their city government's set up a bit differently than Nashville's.
Right.
But, these are things that arise from areas where people are traveling there in short to party.
Oh yeah.
And that obviously creates a lot of issues. Do you draw a distinction between kind of the issues cropping up from tourism and those cropping up more locally? Like, let's say, obviously Broadway seems to mainly cater to tourists, and all kinds of issues crop up there. So where is the line between issues that arise from tourists coming to town versus kind of local concerns that are maybe more, I guess, less dependent on tourism, or is what you're dealing with mostly tourism?
Yeah, that's actually really good. That's a good question, because I think there is a lot of overlap, because when you start, for instance, looking at the some of the concerns and complaints coming in with, short-term rentals, for instance. You know, with that, you're dealing with tourists that are coming in, and they're, like you said, they're here to have a good time and to party, and that in turn winds up, disturbing, a lot of the people that live in and around the area on a full-time basis. And so, in those circumstances, you do see the overlap between tourism and residents who are here in Nashville. But I think when you look at, I'll give you an example. The other day, I met with one of the homeowners associations for the condominiums downtown, and they contacted me, Friday. I went and met with them Wednesday and, gave them the information about the position and discussed, what the expectations were and that I was there to assist them. And so their property manager contacted me on Friday and told me that they had an issue with people illegally parking in the alley behind their building. Excuse me. And so he contacted me, and that's something that didn't specifically deal with tourists that were parked in the area. It was somebody who was, I believe, was there to work at a construction site, maybe something of that nature. And so, that would be one area, parking issues, where it could be tourist or it could be, a residential issue. It doesn't really lend itself to one or the other. So, it's really a case by case basis about these issues that come up, and they could involve tourism and residents or just residents. So, it's kind of hard to pinpoint that one way or the other.
Yeah. That's interesting. I know I was reading about New Orleans Amsterdam. They initiated this like 311 request line for issues like this, like, I guess, a parking issue. And I'm trying to think if someone say blocked my driveway or mm-hmm. parked in my allotted parking spot, I guess I would just call the tow company. Right. And I'd have to do that or maybe talk to the property manager, and then the property manager, before the existence of a nightmare, might go to the council meeting and talk about legislation that you could do. So you're stepping in there to kind of liaison between, say, the property manager and maybe the council, and because you can collect these complaints and kind of get an overview of the issue, you're able to like more effectively deal with it. Would that be a good way to kind of describe? Because I'm it's interesting because that these things aren't all like a parking issue like this, not connected to nightlife, but in a way it feels like it is, right? Because maybe the demands of parking downtown because of the nightlife have these like second order effects like that.
And that, that's entirely possible. This particular one just happened this was in the middle of the day. And so that this is an issue that they had, ongoing. And I think similar to like you said, the 311 number, we do have Hub Nashville, that people can utilize. And that's something that I work with Hub Nashville on a weekly basis to, obtain some of the complaints that are coming in, so we can kind of gauge some of the issues that are most prevalent and are coming in on a daily basis. So that's definitely one option there. But I think in my particular situation, I do already have a working relationship with a lot of these agencies. And so that's really, it's been kind of interesting because the issue with the parking matter the other day, I think if I were someone who didn't have the experience that I do, I wouldn't have known necessarily who to contact. And so I was able to reach out to NDOT because I work with them quite a bit already and have that prior relationship with them. So that, I think that's one interesting aspect that I think sets Nashville apart from a lot of the other cities that you see.
Yeah. Is that relationship through your prior work on the beer board?
It is. And, with the, for instance, the pedal taverns and the party wagons, they're regulated for the most part by NDOT And then, you know, we have the beer permits that that are related to that.
And the beer permits.
Right, right. And I had that prior relationship with them, you know, based upon the fact that we were working on that legislation. So I think that definitely gives me a leg up on, you know, other people who might not have had that prior experience.
How often will you deal? Do you think you'll deal directly with club owners downtown? I mean, what kind of issues? I mean, I can think of, you know, if you've been down on Broadway, you've seen people stumbling around drunk. It's not a mystery what goes on down there.
Right.
But what kind of conversations would you have with a club owner were an issue to arise? You know, is that kind of a, I don't know what I'm curious about your interface with club owners specifically on Broadway.
Well, and you know, that kind of leads to another point that, you know, I had a prior relationship with, you know, with these individuals through the beer board. So the, you know, the club owners and things of that nature, I already had a, you know, working relationship with them. And so I can reach out to them and they know me and trust me and know that, you know, I'm going to, you know, do what's best for the city. And I'm not someone that's out there trying to bust them. So, you know, I think they feel pretty comfortable contacting us. And so that's really something that I'm working on, you know, just building upon that relationship I already have with them. And actually I did that this past weekend, you know, reaching out to several of the bar owners and just letting them know that, that I'll be around, you know, and available this over the weekend if they have any questions or anything of that nature. And so they, you know, I think communication is going to be a huge part of this position and just making them comfortable that I'm there to help them with anything that they need and to communicate their needs and anything like that through the other departments. So
maybe if they had like an issue with trash pickup, like let's say in the alley between, right. between Ryan, you would be the guy to process that request and figure out the problem. Right.
Right. And I think, you know, that's been an issue that's come up in the past. And that's something that I'm looking at and working on the communication with the other departments to see what, if anything I can do to assist with making sure that, you know, that there's a schedule in place that both the department that works for both the department and then the bar owners downtown.
Did you gain any interesting insight into the amount of beer drank on Broadway through your position on the beer board?
Are there some
flashy stats that you can throw out there?
I don't have that available right now.
Okay.
but I mean, you know, it is significant, obviously, but like you said before, that's nothing, you know, that's not news.
No.
You know, everyone, I think knows that from downtown.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that these positions have emerged? So New York created an Office of Nightlife in 2017, and New Orleans selected their first night mayor in September 2022, which is around the time that you were selected. You were selected in December or November?
Yes, it was really around the beginning of November, and then it was fully announced in December.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a developing trend for local municipalities to open up an Office of Nightlife. Do you have any mm-hmm. any idea why that, like, now that this is happening and not 10 years ago or whenever?
You know, I think just because it's really starting to take off, I want to say that there were maybe three or four that just came on around the same time that I took the position. But it's really, you know, I was talking about earlier that it's interesting to see my role versus the other roles in the cities where, you know, they bring in someone who in the other cities who had, you know, probably more experience, like being on the ground and working in the bars and that sort of thing. And I come from more of the regulatory background, although that's, you know, I'm not here to to be, you know, regulatory initially in this position. You know, we want to work with the bar owners and business, you know, business owners and the public. But, you know, it's really hard to say why this is suddenly catching on in other cities. You know, I can say from Nashville, it's just been that, you know, there's been this huge boom in tourism. And, you know, I think everyone's been looking to get back to a balanced approach between, you know, the needs of the citizens and also the needs of the bar owners and the tourists and government. So, you know, I really can't say why it's happening in other cities other than, you know, they see that there needs to be more of a balance between day and night and really that cities like Nashville, you need to be 24/7,
yeah,
you know, instead definitely. Of just being focused during the day.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, I was reading about in Los Angeles there, they don't have an office of nightlife, but they were, it was just a piece advocating for the creation of one for permitting purposes too, right. for clubs and such. And I think in Amsterdam too, there was, you know, a coalition of bar owners that wanted to open a 24-hour club outside the confines of whatever the tourist district or whatever they call it there is. So I guess permitting is going to be involved in this too. You aiding, like for example, I know there's a new club that opened up on 8th Avenue across from Zany's, and right. I don't know that there was any issues with permitting there, but you might be involved in helping them, you know, figure out what permits they need, what kind of compliance issues there might be,
exactly,
any, you know, parking issues, etc.
You know, and that's an excellent point. The really interesting thing about this position is that when you start doing the research and you start reaching out to a lot of these different, you know, different cities and the different, there's about two or three different organizations that are really focused on the nightlife, and just the resources that it opens up to us as a city has been incredible. And so, you know, I've been in touch with the nightlife director in Austin, for instance, and, you know, I can look at what they did as far as dealing with noise issues. And so, you know, we can look at that and see if that's something that we want to do here, you know, or maybe we make a little tweak.
What did they do to deal with night issues, for example?
Well, they had like a, I found this fascinating. They had a team that was focused primarily on noise issues, and it was focused on noise issues primarily within like music venues that they had in and around town. And so, you know, they had a group that would meet with the new ownership and go over, you know, the expectations as far as like the permitting process, but also they would work with them to, you know, start on a good, on, you know, on the right foot with, you know, the neighbors in and around the area there, and also working with the neighbors to make sure that, that they understood and, you know, met their expectations and that sort of thing for, you know, balancing issues dealing with quality of life and, noise issues. So it was interesting. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What was the team, police officers or like city officials, or who made up the team?
No, I think in one instance it was, city officials, almost like a, you know, working group that they had. And, so they had people that had specific backgrounds in areas. So like, for instance, you know, we would have someone from the beer board, someone from codes, you know, someone that works in the fire marshal's office, for instance, you know, that sort of thing, like a lot of, and maybe the health department, like a lot of things that you have to meet and pass, you know, inspections for before you can have a permit. And so, just kind of interesting to see how that worked. And they also had a permitting process in place so that, the venue would provide them with a plan of action. You know, this is how we're going to approach this issue. And if they weren't following that plan, you know, then they might have a warning. And then if they still refuse to meet that plan, then they might, you know, have their permit suspended for 7 days or, you know, however long, you know, they decided to do that. But really it was finding that balance between the new bar owners and the public at large.
And I assume that maybe like one solution to that could be either like building a sound, like say there's a smoking area outside, maybe you build like a wall that absorbs sound, or I'd be curious about like codes regulations for clubs that would, you know, do say something about the insulation of the building that would mean that less sound is, does it get that granular sometimes?
You know, I think they did in some situations. I'd have to go back and look at the material, but it was pretty interesting. I think it was something that they worked on for a few years to actually put in place.
What other cities are good models? Austin's a very good comparison for Nashville. I feel like I haven't spent a ton of time there, but in terms of just the size and, you know, the cultural clout of it, are there other cities that, I mean, does New Orleans have any lessons for you here?
You know, I'm sure they will. And I spoke with the nightlife director down there a few times, but he's pretty new as well. I think he might have come on maybe a few months before I did, but you know, I think they have some internal political issues that they're dealing with that we don't deal with nearly as much, or I haven't dealt with them nearly as much in this role so far.
That's good. Well, let's see what else. I mean, it's interesting that we just, this idea of the day mayor and the nightmare is kind of, it's fascinating to me. I mean, do your hours change? Do you stay up later now?
Yeah. My wife has always said I'm kind of a night owl. So I, you know, as far as, you know, staying up later, you know, really hasn't changed it that much, you know, for me. And, but my work is definitely spread out a lot more throughout the day, I would say. So sometimes I'll have meetings in the morning and sometimes in the afternoon, and then, you know, I might have calls and things like that I need to take after hours and after hours for my previous position with the beer board. But, so it's just kind of, I'd say it's just spread out a little more instead of being more just 8 to 4, that it's more 12 to 12 really. So, yeah. So I'm pretty much available, you know, throughout the day and throughout the night, and working on, you know, researching more for the position and reaching out, having meetings like I did with the Homeowners Association. And then, you know, on top of that, I also have my beer board work that I'm still doing. So I have meetings and things of that nature throughout the week. So, it's been really interesting. But I will say that I saw a slide in one of the PowerPoint presentations that I saw from the Responsible Hospitality Institute, and they, you know, they're one of the organizations that help nightmares. And I think what really hit home for me was that they showed on the left side of the slide was, you know, these are all the agencies that are available during the day. And then on the right, these are the ones available at night. So you had all the agencies, government agencies available during the day. And then you had like police, fire, EMS on the right side, and that was it. And so, you know, and that was just speaking in general terms, that's typically what you see. And so I think making Nashville available to people 24/7, you know, I think that's a good start and a good approach.
I agree. I think it's a necessary position. So I'm glad to see it. It seems that it'll make government more nimble to some of the problems that have arisen as Nashville's exploded.
Right.
So I think that's good. I have one kind of one last question. Are there any laws in Nashville as regards these things that are particularly outdated or old hat or something? Like, are there some weird regulations that cause a lot of issues? Is that a clear question at all?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Anyone that sticks out? I'm just always curious about kind of just weird laws that are collecting dust in the corner and getting people's way.
You know, I don't know that there's necessarily, you know, any law or regulation that's outdated necessarily. Uh-huh. I'm sure there are probably some that, you know, we might go back and see if there's a different way to write them, you know, but I can't think of any.
Nothing that just sticks out.
No. And, you know, as my background's as an attorney, so, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I like to look at, but,
right.
And that doesn't mean that there aren't any out there that are, you know, that aren't outdated. You know, I just haven't seen them yet that I've seen so far.
Of course. Well, Benton, thank you for your time. We look forward to seeing, what happens with the Nightmare's office. It's I think it's a positive, exciting development for the city. So, yeah, so thanks a lot. I'm going to hit stop recording and then we'll wrap up offline.
Okay. And I was just going to add that if anyone needed to contact us or they wanted to meet, right now, you know, we're working on social media, but they can email us now nightlife@nashville.gov.
nightlife@nashville.gov.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Benton. Thanks to everyone for listening.